It's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. Let's start our cover story today with a guy named William.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, William. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
He lives in Denver.
Hi, I'm William Breeze. I'm a reporter with the Denver Westward here. I cover medical marijuana, and I review medical marijuana dispensaries much like a restaurant critic.
A professional marijuana critic. And no, that's not his real name. Like any good critic, he has to stay anonymous. William Breeze is his pseudonym.
Well, it's a reference to a song by a band.
Fish.
Yes, exactly. So
we got it.
You got it.
Above the trees where Billy breathes, we float upon the air. Whoa.
Anyway, William says a day after the election, when the state passed an amendment to legalize marijuana, Coloradans were already expecting to walk into a head shop and purchase a joint.
Yeah, I was in a shop, and it was the day after the amendment had passed here. And the shop owners were getting calls left and right from people asking if they could just come in and buy marijuana legally. And then at one point, someone had walked in the store and sort of handed their ID over to the woman and was expected to be let back into the back. So he wasn't, and I found the whole thing kind of funny. People are just expecting to be able to walk into these medical stores and buy marijuana right away.
That's because right now, only people like William, who has a state-issued medical marijuana card for treatment of chronic stomach pain, can buy marijuana legally. But within a year, the state is expected to have a regulatory framework up and running for what's expected to be a pot boom in the Mile High State. What will that look like? And how will the government handle states with laws that don't square with federal regulations? We're asking those questions because now that Colorado and Washington State have legalized marijuana, Rhode Island and Maine are putting it on the ballot in 2013. Other states may follow. And not long after, mass commercialization, with cigarette companies getting in on the act, even stores that sell THC-infused food of all kinds. Any THC turkeys that were consumed out there this week?
I imagine someone has found a way to infuse their gravy, yes. I have not been privy to any, but if anyone knows of any, send me an email.
Legalization is actually part of a trend line that goes all the way back to the 1970s. That's according to Peter Bourne, who ran the U.S. Office of Drug Abuse Policy for President Jimmy Carter. He was essentially the nation's first drug czar, and Bourne says that back then, it looked like the country was on a fast track towards more relaxed marijuana laws.
Well, the administration's position basically was that the penalties for marijuana use did infinitely more damage to people and their lives than the drug did. And in the White House, our position was that under federal law, there should be only a civil penalty for having up to 1 ounce of marijuana. We also felt it should be left up to the individual states to decide how they wish to handle it, and they shouldn't be dictated to by the federal government.
There were ads on television for legalization, if I remember rightly.
There were indeed, yes.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws suggests that you write to the president and thank him for his commitment to a more just marijuana policy in this country. His address is the White House.
Did you think at the time that the legalization of marijuana was inevitable?
Yes, I did think that then. There's, you know, the contrast and still the prevailing view was the one which came in with the Reagan administration.
Leading medical researchers are coming to the conclusion that marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug in the United States, and we haven't begun to find
out. You know, we had the absurd nonsense from Nancy Reagan about just say no, you know, which is, to me, equivalent to telling somebody who's depressed to have a nice day. So even though we sent a bill to Congress to decriminalize the federal law for amounts of less than an ounce, never passed the Congress.
But President Carter wasn't the only one with an eye towards relaxed rules on marijuana. In one of the better-kept secrets of the story about marijuana in the 70s, Peter Bourne says big tobacco companies were poised to get in on the act, too.
I mean, I was in fairly regular discussion with the tobacco people, and they very clearly had contingency plans that they'd developed. to grow and market marijuana should it be legalized.
We wanted to know more about that, what it could reveal about future plans for commercialization. So I spoke to Tony DeCopel. He's a reporter for The Daily Beast and Newsweek. He wrote a recent story on the changing legal status of marijuana.
There were high-level conversations about adding marijuana to tobacco, creating a line of marijuana cigarettes, and being ready to jump in and market this. And then there were some other interesting cases, too. In 1993, in France, when that country was approaching legalization, there was a strong push to legalize marijuana. Philip Morris, coincidentally or not so coincidentally, they trademarked Marley brand.
As in Bob Marley.
Well, you know, Bob Marley estate said, obviously, you mean Bob Marley, and we don't like that you're doing this, and they sued. And Philip Morris said, no, we mean any kind of Marley. We're just saying Marley. It could be Jacob Marley. And everyone was like, who? Jacob?
Oh, no. Come on. Jacob. Ebenezer.
Yes, exactly. Right. It's an obscure Dickens character, you know, who's mean and cheap and doesn't smoke and doesn't drink. And this is not somebody who you would want to market your smokable items. I mean, that was the other telling thing, is that the trademark request, it didn't specify what was being smoked. It just said smokable consumer products.
Marijuana, by the way, is still not legal in France. But Colorado's been growing it out in the open for years. Well, inside. Tony DeCopel visited a grow house there.
Colorado has more than a million square feet of warehouse dedicated or leased to medical marijuana growers. And you go into these warehouses, and it looks like a normal warehouse. Like, there might be Coca-Cola being stored there, or it might be servicing a grocery store. And then you go into these smaller rooms within rooms, and that's where the plants are. And it's magical. Your eyes recognize sunlight. It's the glow lamps. And the plants are waving gently at you because they're being stirred by fans. And there's classical music playing, or there's rock and roll playing, depending on what the grower says the plant likes. And then there'll be people walking among the plants, the bud tenders, and I refer to them as the Keebler elves of cannabis, because they really live and breathe and sleep among the plants, and they tend to them beautifully.
So now, for the moment, what you're describing is used in the service of legal medical marijuana?
That's right. Colorado is already a revolutionary state in this regard. It has a for-profit medical marijuana market. The 17 other states that have medical marijuana have cooperatives or nonprofit models. So it's already big business marijuana in Colorado. There's a very concerted effort to control where the pot comes from, who's getting it, and also to make some money. I mean, to make this a market that business people would be interested in being part of.
But marijuana is still considered illegal by the federal government. So how would it work? There would have to be some kind of federal oversight role, no?
It's an outstanding question, and no one knows the answer yet. The Justice Department has said it's reviewing the situation, and that review has no end date. A decision will have to be made. Guidance will have to be given to federal attorneys in those two states about whether or not they should prosecute cases of legal marijuana.
Well, Tony, I want to talk about the pros and the cons of legalization. First of all, are you advocating that it be legal?
Well, when I look at the different options, I come down on the side of legalizing marijuana, but in a tightly restricted way. So I really like the Colorado regulatory model. There's a ban on advertising. There are cameras that track the marijuana from bloom to end consumer. So the diversion into the black market is limited. There are extensive background checks on the people who are part of the marketplace. So you're not a front for the black market. You're not a former black market dealer. You're not a member of a Mexican cartel. Most likely. I don't think such an open model like the alcohol model would be good for marijuana. And I think most Americans at this point come down on that side as well. They don't want to be driving down the highway and see advertisements for Budweiser and then also, you know, Bud. They don't want to have to move their kids away from the marijuana rack at the bodega or the grocery store in their neighborhood. So I think tight controls is where the people who favor legalization come down.
So Tony DeCopel, where do you see Colorado's marijuana business in 5 years' time? Will it be like going to Starbucks?
Assuming the federal government does not intervene, I think you will have a variety of products at different levels of intensity, exactly like Starbucks. That's a really good comparison, right? Because you go to Starbucks, you can get an espresso, you can get a long, you can get a coffee, you can get snacks, you know, they're edibles. You might be able to walk in there, and in the case, they'll have, you know, 12 different strains of cannabis, sativa, indica, you know, purple kush, green crack, I mean, whatever colorful name is popular at the moment. And then behind the counter, there might be hash. There might be, in another container, edibles, like fizzy drinks or brownies. There could be a hot dog wheel turning. I mean, you can put THC in anything. So anything could be edible with marijuana. And the model, that's an excellent comparison. I think that's what you'll see.
Tony DeCopel, reporter for Newsweek and The Daily Beast. He's working on a book about all this. By the way, William Breathes, that professional marijuana critic from Denver, he thinks marijuana tourism in Colorado could soon be no more unusual than, say, a fly fishing trip to the state.
Around the country, I get a lot of emails from people really excited about this and saying they're looking forward to visiting Colorado now. And I agree. Having a joint and fly fishing are actually two very wonderful things together.
So, there you have it. Colorado, Rocky Mountain, high.